make them, praise God, that's going to be spiritual. And let's make them where we know that there's going to be some sacrifice. You have to crucify this flesh. I know it's hard. I've been there. I know it's hard. But guess what? With Jesus Christ, all things are possible. Amen. To them that believe. I know, I think this thing done died on me. There might be somebody in here. There might be somebody in here. That's all right. That haven't given their life to Jesus Christ. This is, we're still in the new year. This is only the 10th day. And the man that I know, the man that I know is still standing, still knocking, bidding you to come. You know who that man is? Oh, that's him.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.
You're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for the choir. Thank God for the minister of music. Amen. This morning, I'd like to call your attention to John's Gospel, chapter number 21. Hopefully, our message this morning will encourage all of us, because sometimes we just need encouragement along the way, because being a Christian is not all that easy, and because the devil is constantly shooting at you, and every now and then, if you're not careful, he'll get a shot in. He mess around and let you shield now. Amen. But even if he does, we don't need to give up. The 21st chapter, 21 chapter of John. I'm just going to read the first six verses. And we go from there. Amen. Our text takes place after the resurrection of Jesus. And it begins by saying, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we're going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" And they answered, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the other side of the boat, and you'll find some." So they cast, and now they were unable to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. I'm just going to read on up to verse 9. Therefore, the disciples, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boats, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net of fish. Then, as soon as they had come to the land, they saw fire on coals and fish laid on it, and bread. Verse 10 said, and Jesus said, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Amen. I'm going to just stop right there. I could have gone a little further. Amen. This morning, for a little while, I want to talk from the subject, don't quit. God's not through with you yet. Don't quit. God is not through with you yet. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. Let me begin by saying that many times when we fail in our walk with the Lord, and especially if we do it more than one time, it can make us feel somewhat worthless, make us feel as if we're a failure. And so you say to yourself, "Well, what's the use?" And so many times we give up and we quit, like Peter. We go back to what we used to be or what we used to do. Now, in the text, this is what Peter did. He said to the others, he said, "I'm going fishing." And the others said, we're coming with you. But now when Peter said this, he was kind of still in limbo because of what he had done after Jesus was arrested. Bearing in mind that he had seen the resurrected Lord two times already, but before Christ went to the cross, according to Matthew 26, Peter denied that he ever knew Jesus, using an oath and swearing. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that Peter was using foul language, but my Bible says he did curse. And this he did as they kept asking him, did he know Jesus? And I imagine he might have did like a lot of people. See, he gave an oath and said, "You know, if I told you I don't know him, and if I may God strike me dead if I'm lying." And you know, a lot of y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, when you want somebody to believe what you're saying, even if it's a lie, many times people say, "Well, you know, I swear to God, thus and so." And so it's true. And you know you're lying all the time. But you believe if you say, and even people stand up in court and raise their right hand and swear that they're going to tell the truth, the nothing but the truth, and get up and tell nothing but lies. And so it was in 26 and 74 that after Peter's third denial of Jesus, immediately the rooster crowed. And the Bible said that Peter went out and wept bitterly. And no doubt he remembered what Jesus had already told him, according to Matthew 26:33-34, when he was boasting about, "Even if the rest of these boys desert you, I'll never desert you." But Jesus told Peter, said, "Now, Peter, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times." And so in the text, no doubt he was still carrying around the guilt of his failure in his heart. And so, not knowing what to do, he says, "I'm going fishing. I'm going back to my old way of life." Perhaps thinking He wasn't worthy of the Lord's love anymore. And you know, perhaps that may sound familiar to someone this morning who has made mistakes, and you feel that you're not worthy anymore of God's love. And so you're saying to yourself, what's the use? I quit. I might as well just give up. But my brothers and sisters, my word to you this morning is don't quit, because God is not through with you yet. In other words, don't feel bad, because I don't know of anybody who at some point who haven't felt like giving up for one reason or another. Perhaps things didn't work out the way you wanted them to do, or someone did or said something to you or about you. Or maybe you did something to someone else and now you regret it. You have been praying and seeking God for a long time for something specific or some specific need, but nothing has changed. And so you begin to wonder, think that God may have forgotten your address. But friend of mine, my word of encouragement to you is don't give up, don't give in, and quit, because the answer is closer than you think. In other words, your miracle is just around the corner. God, I need to tell you, he hadn't forgotten your address. As a matter of fact, he knows everything about you, right down to the number of hairs on your head. And most of all, he still loves you in spite of your shortcomings. My brothers and sisters, as long as there is free will, there will always be trials, either inflicted by the world and the accuser, talking about the devil, or somehow self-inflicted knowingly or accident by ourselves. Because I believe you'd agree when I said that many times we've all, so to speak, shot ourselves in the foot on occasion. And many of us have done it more than once. And the thing about it is that those self-inflicted wounds usually are more painful, because we like to think that we can control what we do ourselves. And so I'm sure that Peter was no different in his way of thinking, because remember earlier, before Jesus' arrest, Peter said that he would pretty much do anything for the Lord. And as a matter of fact, he told the Lord, I'll even die for you. But Jesus told him that he would deny him three times before the rooster crow. But now in the Garden of Gethsemane, when they came to arrest the Lord, Peter said, well, in so many words, perhaps say, I'm going to show you, Lord, I wasn't playing. And y'all remember when they came, Peter pulled out his sword and cut the priest, the high priest's servant's ear off. But Peter got messed up, because Jesus told him, put your sword up. I don't need your help. Then he healed the main ear. He said, I got 12 legions of angels just standing waiting if I needed some help. And this sort of messed Peter up, because Peter don't know nothing else to do. He would have fought to the death. But you know, sometimes it's sort of easy when you got somebody like the Lord on your side. You can get a lot of courage. Are you with me? When you're standing with a person who can do any and everything and knows no limit in this world or the next, when he's standing there with you. You know, you can be bad when you got somebody bad with you. But now Jesus has been arrested, and he's been led off like any other man. And so I'm sure that Peter's whole world was coming apart at the seams. And so he thought, because when Jesus was being persecuted, just like the other disciples, all Peter could do was watch from afar off, and no doubt wondering what in the world would happen next. And so in the text, Peter and the others walked along the shores of Galilee, and no doubt he was thinking, Jesus, where are you? You said you were the Messiah, but now you've been taken away just like any other man, and you left us out here on our own. Perhaps there's someone here this morning, or someone listening by way of radio, who may be feeling the same way. But again, I say to you, don't quit. God is not through with you yet, because in the text, what Peter didn't realize was that Jesus loved him in spite of what he had done. because he had already forgiven him completely, and whether Peter knew it or not, Jesus had great plans for his life, meaning it wasn't the end, it was only the beginning. And so the text said that Peter said, I'm going fishing. And others said, we're going with you. And verse 3 goes on to say, they went out and got into the boat, and they fished all night long, but they didn't catch anything. And when the morning came and the sun rose, verse 4 said that Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples didn't recognize him. And then Jesus asked them, did y'all catch anything? And they answered, no. And he said, here we see that a lot of times when we don't know what to do, we go back to what we know to do or what we think we should know how to do. But note, if you will, when they returned even to what they knew without Jesus involved, they were not successful. Even after giving it their all, they had no success. They hadn't caught even a little bit of sunfish. But note what happens after they quit trying to do it on their own, and they relied on the Lord. Jesus told them to throw your net over there on the right side of the boat, and let's see what's going to happen. And when they did it, all of a sudden, there were so many fish in the net that they weren't strong enough to put it in. Then John recognized Jesus and said, it's the Lord. And when Peter heard this, he put on his clothes and that he had taken off and as he was working, and he plunged into the sea. And the text says that the other disciples stayed in the boat to drag the fish in the net. And when the disciples got out of the boat, they saw some bread and charcoal with fish on the fire. And Jesus told them, bring some of the fish that they had just caught. And he told them to come eat some breakfast. But note the text says in verse 14 that this is the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Now, but the point is, prior to Jesus' involvement and what they were doing, even though they were seasoned fishermen, they fished all night long, but they caught nothing. Now, this says to us this morning that God didn't intend for them to return to something familiar. Because remember, when Jesus called them, he said, I'm going to make you to become fishers of men. And Jesus hadn't changed his mind. Because, my brothers and sisters, when you return to something that you already know, it doesn't require very much faith on your part, because you already know what to expect. Meaning familiarity will never stretch your faith and allow your faith to grow. And that's why Jesus said, no one pours a new wine in the old skins. In other words, God wanted to take our walk with him to new levels. Meaning he wants us to grow in our relationship with him. And then as we do, he will reveal more of himself and our walk with him along the way. But you know, human nature almost always fight against change that we are not ready for, because we like to think, like that old saying, that if it ain't fixed, don't break it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But my brothers and sisters, we need to understand that all of us have been broken, and the only one that can fix us is Jesus. Now, we might think we're all right, because when you're walking around doing pretty good, but if you don't have Jesus, you're broke, and he's the only one that can fix you. And so the text revealed that Peter wasn't ready for the change that was happening. And in the same way, like Peter, we may not want to walk in the unfamiliar, but God was doing a new thing to bring them closer to him. And he will always continue to do new things in all of our lives, because he wants to take us to new levels and show us more of his goodness every day of our lives. And the more we rely on him and his goodness and not our own ability, the more we will realize that he's our power source instead of ourselves. And so God wanted Peter and those with him, and he want us also this morning to know that we can't do anything on our own. In other words, without Jesus, we can do nothing. He didn't want Peter to do anything on his own, nor does he expect us this morning to do anything on our own. In other words, Jesus wants us to know that he will be there with us every step of the way, and he'll help us if we trust in his delivering power. And the point is, it doesn't matter what happens. God is still God, and he changes not. And so whatever may come our way, whatever we may go through, my brothers and sisters, you need to know that God is right there with us. You need to know that even though it may seem like you're a loser, you're still on the winning side. And that's what David was talking about in Psalm 23, 4 through 6, when he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death," he said, "I will fear no evil." Why? Because David knew that the Lord was right there with him. And then he closed the psalm by saying, "Since you're right there with me," in so many words, he says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." But still, a whole lot of folk give up and want to quit. Yes, Lord, when they come against some difficulties in life, many times they begin to think, "Well, I've fallen many times, so what's the use?" My brothers and sisters, but our response should always be, "My God has never failed me yet." As the songwriter said, we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He's never failed me yet, because it doesn't matter what happened. I tell you, God, he's still God, and he promised never to leave us nor forsake us. So don't quit. I tell you, God is not through with you yet. And like Peter, all men fall short of the mark, but great men and women, they get back up and get back in the game and keep pressing toward that mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. For instance, David, one who was after God's own heart, he fell from greatness even to the point of murder to get what he wanted. Yet we find him rising from the dust of failure, shaking off the dust and crying out, "Create in me, God, a clean heart, O God, and renew within me the right spirit." And most of all, David said, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me." In other words, David is saying, "I can live without my kingdom. I can live without my children. I can live without my mother and father." And even right now, somebody may be thinking, "I can live without my laptop. I can live without my iPad. I can live without my cell phone. But I cannot live without the presence of God in my life." And so when it seems if the accuser and the world dish it out more than you think you can take, I tell you, don't quit on God, because God is not through it yet. Yes, you may have failed the Lord in many ways, but you ought to thank God for his grace. You ought to thank God for his forgiveness. For I heard the Bible says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Although many times folk always tend to look back when times get tough. But let me tell you, God isn't interested in your past. because your pants have already been forgiven when you accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord. And therefore, he's more concerned with your future, because just as he had big plans for Peter, he also has some big plans for you as well. And so as I try to move to the close, anyone united with the Messiah, I need to tell you, you get a fresh start, and he or she is created anew. The old has passed away, and a new life has begun. And so don't quit. God is not through with you yet, because when you look at that thing that happened out there on the cross. When you consider what the Lord had to go through just to save you and me, how he was beaten beyond recognition. The Bible said that Jesus never said a word, even when they nailed him to an old rugged cross. Instead of complaining and cursing the people out that put him there, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And when the thieves, one on the other side, said, if you're really who you say you are, why don't you come down off the cross and save us and yourself? Well, my brothers and sisters, he could have come down, but because of his love for us, he stayed right there. It wasn't the nails that held him to the cross, but it was love. Yeah, love of the Lord caused him to stay right there on that old rugged cross. And so when you think about giving up, just think about what all the Lord had to go through just so you and I could be forgiven. And when you do that, it will make your circumstances begin to look insignificant. Instead of quitting and giving up, it ought to give you courage to move on, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Because Jesus knows, he knows you and he knows me. He knows us inside and out, and he understands us more than you think he does. That's why the Bible says that we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So when you fall down and when you mess up, you can come boldly to the throne of grace and find help in the time of need. Ain't God all right? Yes, I don't care what you've done. I tell you, Jesus loves you, because later on in the text, Jesus told Peter, Peter, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord. He said, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me more than these? He said, yes, Lord. He said, feed my lamb. Peter, do you love me more than anything? He said, yes, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. And Jesus told him, well, Peter, I'm asking you all of this to let you know I love you in spite of what you've done. I thank God that when Jesus died on the cross, that he got up with all power and heaven and earth in his hands. I thank God because he got up from the grave. He has compassion on us. I mess up sometime, and you mess up sometime, but I hear Jesus telling the Father as he's seated on the right hand, don't worry about I'm dead. I got him covered. He's covered by my blood. Don't worry about my children. I got them covered with my blood. Ain't God all right? What you gonna give up for? Where you gonna go when you walk away from Jesus? I hear Jesus saying, I love you in spite of yourself. He looks beyond all our faults and he see our need. I'm trying to close this message. But God don't want you to quit. He doesn't want you to give up because he's not through with you yet. The reason he brought you in was because he loved you. And right now, as you go through some things, all he's doing is just molding and he's just shaping. He's taking the bad stuff out and putting good stuff in. And one of these old days, you'll look back on your life and you'll wonder how you got to where you are. You'll be a marvel.